Kevin, what was Shea Weber's reaction when he heard that Nashville was matching?
Yeah, I think he was surprised in a sense, more so on the timing. You know, I think the whole process has taken so long in the week. It seems like it lasts forever. And, you know, we kind of felt that the way it was gone, we hadn't heard anything from Nashville. There'd been no talks or not a word. And then it just came out of nowhere today. And we kind of expected a decision was going to be made sometime tomorrow. So a little bit surprised by that. And I think we both knew all going into it there was a chance that Nashville would match and it could happen. He could stay as a Predator.
Now, Kevin, there's a lot of people wondering because, you know, both when you and Jarrett did your initial interviews, you made it pretty clear that he preferred not to have it matched and he would rather go to Philadelphia. Now that he's guaranteed to be a Predator for at least a year, is he going to be happy there or is this going to be an issue?
No, I think he's going to be happy in Nashville. He's always been happy there. It's the only organization he's known. He has a great home there. You know, they've had some success. He's been a large part of the success. And, you know, they have some of the most rowdiest or exciting fans in the league. And, you know, they've made strides as an organization, and they're very competitive right now. So I think he has no problem staying in Nashville, and he'll be excited to stay being a Predator.
Kevin, it's Mike Zeisberger. Thanks for joining us. Just wondering, from an agent's perspective, when you see some of the moves that Paul Holmgren has made over the years, whether it be the offer sheet to Shea, or Elliot and I were talking earlier about when he traded for Kimmo Tiimonen and Peter Forsberg.
Well, he traded Peter Forsberg. They did Tiimonen and Scott Hartnell.
That's it. Tiimonen and Scott Hartnell a week before they were scheduled to become UFA, so he could negotiate deals. Are you surprised that more general managers don't try to find, I'm not sure if you call it a loophole, but are not more creative in trying to build up their talent supply?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm surprised that more aren't creative. I just think Paul, you know, he's been with the organization so long as a player and then in management, and he has a relationship probably with his owner, Mr. Snyder, that most general managers don't have with their ownership group. And when you have the support of your ownership and everybody in the organization is doing whatever it takes to win, and Mr. Snyder gives him the ability to do what he needs to do, I think it's in his makeup, I would say, or in his genes that, you know, he wants to be a winner and whatever it takes. I mean, we've seen them do a lot of different deals and moves the last few years, and they're aggressive and they decide what they want and what they think their team needs, and they go get it. They don't worry about what the rest of the league thinks, what other owners think, what Gary Bettman and the NHL thinks. They do what they need to do to try to make themselves a Stanley Cup winning team.
Kevin Epps, Shea Weber's agent, is on the line with us. And Kevin, okay, you understand one thing about the CBA, and that is that for a non-lawyer, relative meathead like myself, it's very difficult to understand at times.
Yeah.
When Jarrett was on last week, he talked about the possibility of an addendum putting a no-trade clause into the finalized contract that is not there in the offer sheet. I checked. I was told that couldn't happen. But now, today, people have shown me an article in the CBA which indicates it could happen. Will you guys in the Predators put a no-trade in Weber's deal?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely plan to. I think as an organization, I think when you sign this kind of commitment to a player, I think it should come with the territory. I mean, they're making their commitment long-term, and I think the player wants to have the same commitment that if he's going to stay there long-term, he should have a no-movement, no-trade clause in the contract. And, you know, that's everybody's wishes, I believe.
Okay, so has Nashville told you they're willing to do it?
You know, we haven't had long discussions with them today. Okay. It's just been short and kind of sweet. Just let us know they've matched, and let's talk about this and digest this a little bit more tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Did you talk to anybody from the Flyers today, or is that kind of a moot point?
No, we, of course, called Paul and talked to him to, you know, just appreciate his efforts in trying to make this happen. And, you know, and talk to him, you know, he had no inclination prior to them matching, you know, as it came probably, you know, to other people's surprise when the offer sheet came out. It's one of those things that comes out and then nobody really knows how it's going to play out. And it just came out, you know, we read the statement the same as you guys probably did on the Nashville Predators website that they had matched the offer, and that's the first we'd heard of it. And then, of course, our phone started exploding.
And just a final one for you, Kevin. I always wonder if every time there's an offer sheet, it's going to mean more. You know, when Edmonton did Thomas Vanek and couldn't get him, they went out and tried with Dustin Penner, and of course it calmed down. Do you get any sense now? Because people love the attention and all the intensity that comes with this, that there may be more on the way.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's one of those things that, you know, we did an offer sheet with Nicholas Yarmolson in Chicago. I think that was the last one done prior to this one. And I think it just depends. Like you said, in that case, the San Jose Sharks wanted to make themselves a better hockey team, and they felt that they could get the player because of where Chicago was in regards to the salary cap and the players. They just won a Stanley Cup, and you know, so I think San Jose thought they could really get the player, and I think the same can be said about this offer sheet. Philadelphia did it because they wanted the player. They didn't want to force Nashville to pay all this money and have all this upfront money. They honestly believe that, you know, an offer like this to a smaller market team and the caliber of player Shea was, that they were really going to get the player. It wasn't one of those things, I think, where, you know, teams do it to either retaliate or to get the excitement of their fans or anything. I think it's based on general managers believing that they can actually get the player and make their hockey team better.